the 22nd head coach at Michigan Tech, Joe Schott.
The Huskies got 2-1. Bring it up across the line, Ian Smith looking in front. Sasha just scores! You see it? Put it in!
I am a Euchre. I love UP.
Oh, what a play by Michigan Tech!
And my heart is hit.
Save it for Misiak. Misiak, wrap around attempt, right to the front of the goal. It's behind him! Scores! Hit the net!
Go Huskies.
This is the Joe Schott Hour on the home of the Huskies, Mix 93 WKMJ. Brought to you by Pisani Company Distributing, Edward Jones Financial Advisor John Nelson in Houghton, the Turbo Agency in Hancock, Coca-Cola of Hancock, the Michigan Tech Campus Bookstore and University Images, Bucko's Party Store in Calumet, and Peterlin Distributing of Calumet. Now with the head coach of the Michigan Tech Hockey Huskies, Joe Schott, here is your host, Dirk Hembroff.
Thank you very much, and thank you, Coach Schott, for making it in here today. I know you would. Didn't have any fear about that, but we appreciate it because I know you didn't get much sleep. It was a long trip home for the Huskies coming into Houghton last night from Fairbanks, and the Huskies split over the weekend against the Nanooks, losing on Friday night and winning on Saturday night. Good morning, Coach.
Good morning. I don't know how you... I got to be honest with you. You were up at 5 and in here if you made it like you were supposed to. You look good because I'm tired today.
Well,
I'm
probably better because I didn't get as much sleep as you. Later tonight.
We got to get reacclimated here. But it was a grind. This trip was a grind. It felt like a grind for sure.
It really did. But a big win on Saturday night, Coach, after a tough one on Friday where we didn't play very well. But we come back and really had a solid performance all three periods on Saturday night.
Yeah, I thought we did. In all aspects of the game, penalty kill did what it needed to do. Power play got us the goal to get us going, got the winning goal, and ended up being, you know, in a 2-1 game. And then I thought we competed a lot harder. But I thought we played hard on Friday. We just didn't play smart. We talk about it so often. We were reactionary in a lot of ways. And, you know, that's going to happen at times with a young group like we have. But the guys worked hard. We just didn't work together, and we fought ourselves in a lot of ways, I thought, in the Friday hockey game.
And turnovers seems to be the recurring bad theme for us on Friday night.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of that happens when you don't move your feet especially against a skating team. Fairbanks is a skating team. They match up well against us. Sometimes it just goes that way. I remember being at Lake State with national championship teams, and sometimes, a team would just be a grind to play against where everybody else is handling them easy, and you're in the top five in the country every year, and you're always just, it's always just a battle against that team. And Fairbanks this year was like that to us in the four games. You know, they took three of the four. Any one of those games we could have won, but in three of them we didn't. We certainly weren't at our peak. And you have to really, what they do well, can really focus in ways on what we need to do better in order to have success against them. And for whatever reason, in those particular games, we didn't skate as well as we needed to. We didn't, you know, climb with the puck. We didn't, use our legs as much as we needed to.
Go back to that Friday night game, Coach. We didn't, you know, even though we weren't playing great, we did have a 2-goal lead in that, and then we had a 1-goal lead in the third period. And do you think we're making strides in, as you were talking about, we need to get better at playing with the lead? Do you see some improvement there, maybe even Saturday night?
Well, Saturday night we did for sure. We played a good Friday, a good third period on Saturday night, and things that go through your mind as a coach is conditioning and all those things, and we certainly had, we had two goal posts in the third period on Saturday night. There's a lot of things that go into my mind on that we have to rectify and clarify on third periods as a whole, as a team, because that kind of is a characteristic of your team, as faceoffs are. And, you know, like I said, certainly conditioning, we have to look at that, and we're going to work a little bit differently on that and try to address that and make sure that doesn't play into it. Mindset is a lot, immaturity, irresponsibility, being responsible, being response able, knowing what you need to do at times when teams are cheating and sending extra men and applying extra pressure, being response able to respond in the right way. We, in a lot of ways, still being youthful, are irresponsible. We don't respond in the way that we need to at times. So it's hard to tell if it's completely a mindset It's hard to tell if it's, you know, like I said, conditioning factor. It's hard to tell if it's because we, you know, a lot of our top end doesn't skate as well as it, as, you know, as natural as it could. We have, you know, some of our really talented guys aren't naturally gifted skaters, as, you know, Misiak is a naturally gifted skater, and a lot of what he does is off of his legs. So there's a lot that goes into it, and a lot that you play with in your mind as a coach to say, okay, how do we maximize what we do and figure out how, you know, and get that baseline to go back to make sure that we can play. And I think a big thing that we did on Saturday night is I thought we filled gaps better defensively and had better transitionable plays, which really was less offensive time for Fairbanks. They didn't generate a ton of offense. I haven't done the total scoring chances yet, but they weren't many in the hockey game. Right. And a couple of them we did give them. You know, we had a bad turnover in the second period that gave them a breakaway and things like that. So you look at those things, but what we climbed a lot better too. We accelerated with the puck and head-manned the puck and pulled away and got some separation with the puck. And not a lot different. I'm watching last night on the bus. I'm watching New England. That's my team. They took it on the chin pretty good. And it's very similar. They have a inexperienced, irresponsible offensive unit right now, especially at the tight end position, where they just can't get separation. They don't get away from the coverage, and Brady's getting pounded, and they're developing it, and they're making evaluations as we did last year, as we always have to do going forward. Can these guys play? We're giving them time. They're getting, but we got to see some growth at some time too. And we've certainly seen growth. So, I think we're heading in the right direction.
Can I just say something from a fan's point of view? It just, the game, it, you know, every once in a while you watch on the big sheet and you don't notice a whole lot different from, you know, playing on the NHL, but it seemed like this week, and I really noticed it's a completely different game. There was so few hits along the boards because it just, the game doesn't go there.
Yeah, you don't get there. Yeah.
It just doesn't happen there. Mm-hmm. It's just so different. I just really noticed that this weekend quite a bit.
Yeah, but where the game isn't different is between the dots.
Dots, right.
Between the dots, which is the area that you need to occupy and you need to make sure that you're protecting. We played too much outside the dots on Friday. We played a lot more inside the dots. We were a lot more critical on Saturday. And that's what I'm talking about when I say we have to play more critical. We have to own that area of the ice more. A team that does that very well is over the last couple of years, Lake Superior does a good job of getting you away from being able to use the boards as a defender for you. They do a good job, and you have to completely prepare differently for them, which we had to do this year.
Trenton Bliss works on his shot all the time. I watched him work on a shot up in Fairbanks this weekend before the games, and he just has a knack right now for putting the puck in the net, and he scored the first goal of the weekend.
Trenton Bliss will bring it down the left wing. Bliss trying to get to the front of the goal line. Does scores! Oh, what a shot by Trenton Bliss! Brought it down the left wing and somehow found it past goaltender Griggles, and Bliss with just a pretty play. Didn't have much going on and found a way to make something out of nothing, and the Huskies take a 1-0 lead.
No, shot short side. It didn't seem like there was a whole lot going on there, and when I talked to Trenton after the game, coach, he said, yeah, that guy was on my hip the whole way down. He goes, I could feel that he felt I was going to pass the puck to the front of the net. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, Bliss is a talented hockey player,
yeah.
And he can score from that strong side. He does on the power play, he does it, you know, he did it on that play. The interesting part about that is how you called that play perfectly. There's not a lot happening, and all of a sudden it's in the net. We really had to go a long ways to get our shots on goal this weekend. They managed, on Friday, Fairbanks managed the puck very well. And they made us work, and everything we got was basically full ice type stuff. And then that's where you noticed, you're talking about the turnovers, where they were able to at times turn the game into a half ice and a quarter ice game or third ice game where we were turning the puck over and they're coming right back at us. So we often had to go on Friday that full 200 feet, and that was our goal on Saturday, was to shorten the game up a little bit.
And it's Friday, you're right, because on Friday night, our second goal was a long rush into the zone.
To the front of the net, they couldn't make the play and chip to the line now, and out to center ice, breakaway for the Huskies, a 2-on-0. Here comes Rantmeyer, passes it in front of the goal! Great feed over to the left side by Grayson Rantmeyer as it slipped through everybody for the Nanooks of the Huskies in the first minute five of the period.
are able to take a 2-0 lead, and Leip will get his first career goal as a Husky. Michigan Tech 2, Alaska nothing.
So I talked to Chris Leip after that, and he said, yeah, I wasn't sure if Grayson was going to send it over or not, and he did. And he said, there's nothing I could do but put it in the net. It was so perfect. So.
Yeah, and there's a, that's as long as a 3-on-0 you're ever going to see in hockey. It was from deep, you know, from top of the circles in our zone, three guys pulling away. And that's the thing about Fairbanks. That was a big focus, is that they do, and we talked about before, you know, I kind of insinuated that where they're vulnerable, where you want to attack them, is also their strength, because they swarm, they send a lot of guys with their speed and risk recovering, and then their D take some chances at the blue line, which they did on their winning goal. I mean, they're faking and dipping shoulders and tucking heads and getting us to go all over the place and for a very long shift in our zone, which hopefully we don't have to painfully listen to, that ended up in our net. But
it's edited and we edited it down.
But, they were able to do that. But with that said, if you're able to defend hard and put quick pressure on and have great secondary support off of that, what you're able to do is get transition opportunities against them. The thing is, it's been hard for us to be able to do that, teams are they're splitting every weekend. They're against the best teams around. They're mm-hmm. splitting every weekend right now. They've swept us. They've split ever since then on the year with every series they've played. So in this night, we were able to find two opportunities and where we were able to get a turnover and turn it into. But it's still a long play, but there's just a lot of guys deep in the offensive zone for them.
And we should make a note, that was the collision play, correct? Which Soretsky got hurt on it. I was totally unaware that he was injured at that time, and he was out for the rest of the weekend. But so the Huskies were up 2-0. They made it 2-1, then 2-2, and then Keegan Ford in the third period able to regain the lead for Michigan Tech.
On across now, here is Swoyer. Swoyer will shoot this one, blocked off of the stick of Newton. Aretino will slap it back to the blue line. Huskies will control up top, trying to regain the lead. Here's Ford with a shot. Scores! Keegan Ford with a great show as you goal as he took it off of the post, as you can hear in the background. And the Huskies regain the lead on a power play goal. 3-2.
Great shot by Keegan on that one. And it's a nice puck movement on that 4-on-3.
Yeah, our power play is getting better all the time. It's getting goals for us. And, I mean, we scored, I don't know how, maybe in five of the last six, right. Six of the last seven, maybe seven of the last seven. We scored several power play goals, and we're not getting multiple power play goals in games, but we certainly could have on Saturday. We hit, and even on Friday, the movement was decent, but Saturday was really good, and we had some goal posts and things with the man advantage. So that part of our game is getting much better.
So, Coach, I know we don't want to talk about it too much, but can you kind of set up, as they tied the game up 3-3, and they're about to score the winning goal here. We had a couple of things. Obviously, Soretsky's out, so we're shorthanded there. If I remember right, the fourth line or the checking line wasn't playing up to what you thought. Is that why we were kind of shorthanded there?
Yeah, in a couple ways. And we also, we moved Pogge up into Soretsky's place, right, on that line. But, that line was struggling that night. They weren't skating that well. They took a penalty for us at the end of the second period, an unneeded penalty. So when you're giving up ice and you're not playing that well, it's hard to use it. And then when Soretsky went down, it was just bumping Pogge into that and trying to pop Ray in on a shift here and there and try to spell some guys that you felt were tired. So, the winning goal, if that's what we're heading into, was just a absolute breakdown in so many ways on D-zone cover and commitment and, two right-handers on. A right-hander went for a left D, so we had two right-hand D on the ice for whatever reason. That's happened two times now. We're rectifying that, and how does that happen?
Oh, I didn't realize somebody jumped out, the wrong guy jumped out.
So we had two D trying to, naturally gravitate over to the same side of the ice, and it was two forwards playing the same side of the ice. Blisser and Paratino were on one side of the ice, then on the other. It was just a total discombobulation and a lack of focus, and we weren't able to get a hold of the puck. We weren't able to freeze it. We weren't able to ice it, and it ended up in the back of our net.
It was about 2 minutes. Here's the last 17 seconds of that to give the Nanooks the game.
Yellow trying to get it out. It goes off the boards, back to the point. Thompson holds it in. Here's Thompson locking in and shoots, scores.
And the Nanooks take the lead with 3.5 remaining in the third.
So that made it a 4-3 there, and the Huskies were down to just 3 minutes and some change to try to tie it up, and weren't able to do so. 4-3, the final there on Friday night. It was just one of those things where, man, if we could just chip it out, but we just couldn't do it. They did a good job of holding it in.
Yeah, too. We gave it, and when we did get it, we gave it right back to them. It was a very undisciplined shift, strategically from the group of players, but it was a microcosm a little bit of the entire game. We only generated 16 shots in the game. Our energy level was low. Our attention to detail wasn't where it needed to be. Ultimately, that's on me. We were trying everything we could to address it during the week. I felt we'd be ready. You know, we got on the ice. You can make a million excuses. There are no excuses. There were a lot of things that went into it. We didn't practice Wednesday because of what our travel arrangements were. Our Thursday practice, we were only able to practice on 3/4 of a sheet of ice because of a broken pane of glass at the rink nobody there on Thanksgiving to be able to fix it. So we still went and practiced to try to get our legs, and the whole thing, the mindset of it was just very lethargic and disappointing. Huge, huge weekend. You want a team to have to beat you. In a lot of ways, Fairbanks did, because their game, the way they play, we have to play a certain way, and that way has a lot of attention to detail, which we were able to have on Saturday night, and I'm happy for that.
Well, we'll talk more about the Saturday night game coming up in just a little bit. Hey, if you got a question for Coach and you're listening here live on Monday morning, send it over. DJ@themix93.com. The Joe Schon Hour continuing right after these.
Warning. This product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. The world is changing. Isn't it time smoking changed too? Vuse Alto is a vapor product offering you a satisfying alternative to cigarettes. Simple to use, surprisingly quiet, and impressively powerful. Our best vapor yet at our best price ever. 99 cents plus tax at participating retailers. 99 cent offer applies to Alto device. Upon sold separately. Underage sale prohibited.
Are you sick of crushing candy and want something better? Well, better is here with Best Fiends. Join millions of satisfied Americans and start playing today. Best Fiends is a 5-star rated addicting puzzle adventure game where you collect cute characters and solve thousands of fun puzzles. Don't miss out on the Best Fiends obsession. Download Best Fiends for free from the App Store or Google Play today. That's friends without the R. Best Fiends.
Play Best Fiends. Download free.
Right now, I'm holding a perfectly ice-cold Coors Light. You know how I know it's the perfect temperature? Because the mountain on the can is blue. And also, it's really cold. Every Coors Light is cold-filtered, cold-lagered, and cold-packaged. Notice how many times I said cold? 3 times. It's that cold. So make sure the mountain on your can of Coors Light is blue. Because that means it's ready to enjoy. 2019 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Spread the word. Tell all family members and friends. It's Bucko's Party Store 12 Packs of Christmas Celebration Sale. All 12 packs of bottled beer are on sale. All 12 packs cans of Pepsi products are 2 for $10. All 2 liters are 2 for $3. Bucko's now carrying Skinny Pete's Bagels, along with all other kinds of local products. Check out Bucko's Clothing Department for Keweenaw Alpaca Gear, sold exclusively at Bucko's Party Store. Don't forget, Bucko's sells your ORV trail licenses. Sales do not include tax and deposit at Bucko's.
Back to the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ with Head Coach Schon. Thanks for tuning in. We really appreciate it. Let's talk a little bit about Saturday night's game. 4-3 loss on Friday for the Huskies in Fairbanks. The Huskies coming back and hoping for a better performance overall. And boy, they sure got it, Coach. As you've mentioned already several times, just from the drop of the puck, it just seemed to be a more, the effort good both nights, but just a more concentrated effort on what needed to be done to win the game.
Yeah, we were on the puck more. We came up with more puck battles. We filled gaps a lot better. We didn't have guys, caught on in bad ice positions. Everybody was able to be involved in the game on Saturday, and thus we didn't give up much. We didn't give up. They pulled their goaltender for 2 minutes. We didn't give up much. We actually could have gone for the open net a couple times and didn't. So it was all in all, it was a pretty good effort. I believe I talked about this in the post game. We took some steps backwards offensively. on the weekend as far as generating, creating the consistent offense and pressure and offensive zone play and sustained offense. But we got back to our defensive structure when we needed to, and that was enough to get us through a hockey game.
Well, the first goal was about as pretty of a power play goal as you're going to see. Very few times, Coach, do I anticipate before it happens who's going to be scoring the goal. But anybody watching that first that power play for Michigan Tech could see that it was going to be delivered over to Eric Coates, and he was going to be able to score.
Settle it down now and drops it back to the point for Donahue. Donahue over for Coates. Back up top, Donahue. Donahue holding on, sends it for Bliss. Bliss looking over. Here's a chance for the Huskies. A score! Nice play over for Goats, and Goats able to bury it. And the Huskies take a 1-0 lead here for the second time this weekend on a power play goal with 9:37 left to go in the first period.
What I like about that one is that Goats didn't wait too long to get rid of that puck, but he waited long enough to make sure that he got a good shot off there. And just a great feed from Trenton Bliss.
Yeah, Goatsy was great all weekend.
He was.
I thought he played absolutely tremendous. He was really good on Friday night. We had a couple players on Friday that played really well, and he was one of them. I thought Mitch Meek had a really good weekend for us as well. Competed hard, made plays with the puck, did a really good job for us, so I was happy for him. But Goatsy, he had two or three other chances where he put the puck, rifled it over the net or the goal off the goalie's shoulder or whatever. So I believe of our... On Saturday night, maybe it was Friday night, we had like 12 shots from our defensemen. Maybe 12 of the 20 shots, like saves, were by our defensemen. And then on top of that, you had Goatsy that scored, and we had Leip that scored this weekend. We had Keegan Ford that scored this weekend. So that really says a lot. We're boasting a bit about that defense as well, but that many goals came from our blue line.
Well, and that was one of the emphasis before the season.
Mm-hmm. That was. That's what I'm saying. We're happy about what they're doing, and that they're getting these opportunities, and that's a good thing. We still also have to have, we have to get that production of our forward units too.
So let me ask you, Coach, Eric Goats, two weekends in a row now we've been talking about him.
Mm-hmm.
What is he doing in your eyes? Is he taking that next step? As a defenseman for Michigan?
Oh, he's smiling a lot.
He's smiling more.
but with him, he's just figuring it out. He's on a high cycle. Now, what you don't want is what you don't want to have happen is guys that get on a little up. And we have that with a little bit of our goaltending at times. Really good for a game or two, and then all of a sudden it goes back the other way. That consistent performance you want to always have, and then you want it over a career. That consistence, that your game elevates with a consistent performance over time. That's what you're actually after. You want to be the team that leads the league in, you know, scoring and leads the league in defense, like Mankato. You know, that's the team you want to be, that you're putting pucks in the net and you're keeping them out of the net. You're just dominating hockey games. Goatsy is a pretty cerebral type of guy. He's making big gains right now. I think this is the start of some really good things for him because he's got that ability. We've really encouraged him to engage more in the hockey game, to be a more of a factor in the hockey game, because he has the ability to do it, not to be a quiet secondary type of a guy, but to try to be the player that he was created to be that he has the capability of being. And he's confidently making some strides, as is Colin Sawyer, who was tremendous this weekend. Colin Sawyer is making those strides too. His critical turnovers are way down. His battle situations and ending plays is going way up. He's skating. Like, we had a rush play where we got up and got a scoring chance this weekend. He just took off with a puck 5-on-5 and blew by everybody. And you can't keep up with that. You can't keep up with his legs. And when he gets that separation, that climbing ability, and they have to cover him with somebody, if you have the skill that he has to find the guy that's open, well, that creates offense. And so we have a couple guys heading big time in the right direction, and they're critical players for us, and they're young players for us. They're young players that, if they have a chance to sign early, good for them, God bless them, and if we have them for 3 years and 4 years, then it'll be good for us.
Okay, so the Eric Goats goal gave us a 1-0 lead on Saturday night. We go to the second period leading 1-0, and I wanted to ask you what you thought of this only goal of the night by Alaska. It was Steven Jandrick with the tally to make it a 1-1 score.
Jandrick slides it over. Here's a shot. Scores! Oh, it went right through. And I don't know what happened on that play, but the Nanooks have tied it up with a weak shot from a point that looked to be possibly redirected, and I don't know if Drusik just missed it or
if it was deflected right in front of him or not.
Well, it was deflected in front of him. What did you see on that play, Coach?
Well, it started out with a battle situation where we outnumber them, and we can't give those up. Those are some characteristics of the players that are involved in the, that were involved in that battle, and we can't, you know, we have it in there. We have the puck sealed. We have it contained. We have numbers. We have five guys deep in the defensive zone. They have three and 2D at the blue line. We shouldn't come out losing those situations, and we did, and they got it up, and they won the battle, and then through a D2D pass, we didn't get ourselves in a position to block it. We didn't get ourselves in a position to tie up and box out. So a lot of things that are characteristics of the players that were involved in it that has to improve.
That made it 1-1 at the time, and on Steven Jandrick's redirect into the goal at the 1:24 mark of the second period. And the game winner came in the second period. The Huskies go up 2-1.
Michigan Tech will get it back at center ice now. Picked up by Bryce. Ray Bryce across over for Hallinan. Bryce gets it back, takes the shot, save, scores! Ray Bryce with the goal, or it was tipped in front. And the Huskies take their second lead of the game, 2-1 with 5:41 left to go in the second period.
Well, it was a redirect in front, and it was Alex Smith who got the redirect. Ray Bryce gets the assist on that play, and good job by Alex to go to the net, and Ray just threw it on goal.
Yeah, and that's something we've been trying to get our guys to do, run funnel plays and run plays where they're throwing the puck at traffic going towards the net, because you have to move that goalie position. That's a big deal, and Ray did a good job of getting that towards the net, just grunting that puck up the wall and getting it towards the net. And then Smitty did a good job of driving, getting his second goal of the year. So a big deal. That's another thing that we got this weekend that was good. Keegan Ford, a senior, got a goal for us. Alex Smith, a senior, got a goal for us. So we got some production out of some of our upperclassmen. We don't have a lot of them. I know I say that our younger class is carrying us, but our younger class is our numbers. That's the numbers of guys that are playing, mm-hmm. our freshmen and sophomores. So obviously they're going to score more goals, but we do really look and hope for impact out of the upper class, the guys that are in there, and it was nice to see those guys get rewarded for their work.
So I know we didn't get a lot of offense, Coach, just two goals in that game, but we got the win. We held them to six shots in the first, six in the second, only five in the third period for a total of 17. And I know anytime you keep a team under 20 shots, that's a pretty good night defensively.
Yeah, right? and outside of that, the scoring chances are going to be under 10. Mm-hmm. So it was a really good shutdown type of game. Now, like I said, what we want to do is make sure that we're generating offense. I mean, you want to win these games, those games like that, 4 or 5 to 1 with 25, 27, 28 scoring chances for. No discredit to Fairbanks because they beat us three times, but that's what our goal is to, when we're playing well defensively, not to be a team that's, you have to attack. You know what I mean? You have to attack. You can't sit back and be trying to hang on for wins. In any sport, your goal is to find a weakness in the opposition and to attack it with everything you have, and that's what we need to focus on doing, and that's finding ways to consistently score goals. We're growing at that. Then we started taking a little bit of a step backwards because we started cheating a little bit and not filling our gaps well and not getting pucks to areas that we want to, that we could transition well. And so now I think Saturday got us back to that defensive side of it, and now we have to, you know, take a few steps forward again and bring our offense back into it.
Let me bring up the conditioning thing again, Coach, that you had mentioned during the post-game show and then again today. There is a fine line for people who maybe don't understand, the fine line of over pushing the guys right in a long, long season, mm-hmm. and obviously getting them ready for being able to play a solid third period in a very tight game. How do you manage that as a coach and as a staff and all that?
Well, a lot of that's managed through Nate Larson, our trainer. A lot of it's managed through Tyler Shalast, our weight room. A lot of it's managed with talking with the leaders of the team. Okay, how do you feel? Where are we at right now? And then a lot of it's just with the optics of it, of how you feel, trends of games are going. Now, part of what plays into us, I think, is what I've said. We have a lot of really good hockey players that aren't naturally speedsters, great skaters. They have to work to get where they have to go to do their job. On big ice, it's even harder. So you have to be that much smarter and anticipate that much more and not be reactionary and not take yourself out of position so that you have to recover into position. That was really the game Friday. Now, when you get to the second point of it where you have an injury in a game or you lose your, or your depth isn't playing that well, so now your upper players are playing that much more. You have to shorten the bench a little bit quicker. We had to do that at Bowling Green. We've had to do that several times that we've gotten through and gotten wins out of where a certain line is just can't get the puck out of our zone. They can't handle the pressure. They can't handle, guys are chasing them. They're standing still. They just can't, they're not ready to handle the pressure. So that now all of a sudden you have certain guys that may not be the best skaters, may labor skating anyways, going on every third time instead of every fourth time. So there's several things that play into it. We have to read everything accordingly and be creative with it. Sometimes maybe it's again, the spin bikes and do a little more leg work early in the week. I think we're going to add a little bit more conditioning to our practice, which at this stage of the year, I think we can do because we can spend a little, you know, we have a better understanding of what we want to do so we can get some of the things accomplished without adding another drill or two, and we can throw a skill conditioning drill, a hidden bag drill in there at some point and focus more on that way without overly taxing the guys. But there's a lot of things a lot of teams do. A big thing now is heart rate monitors on players. They wear this little under like a shirt that has a monitor system in it. And then when an individual player gets to a certain point, now you're being counterproductive on conditioning. Now it's actually breaking down versus conditioning. So they reach a maximum level and then of work, and then when that level of work, you know, it monitors that and it reads it, and then it's your trainer says, okay, that's enough. We've done enough, and we only need 40 minutes today. We only need 30 minutes today. We need an hour 10 today. So whatever that is, there's a lot of scientific stuff that goes into it that we aren't quite at yet. So we do things a little bit differently, and we just monitor it through the staff.
I know Saturday morning skates, there's not much going on. It's kind of just to loosen up and everything. As a coach, how do you look at Saturday morning skates as far as guys being on the ice? Does that hurt them for the Saturday night game, or guys not being on the ice, does that hurt them for the Saturday night game?
I've been on teams that have done it both ways, that have run full practices. We've done that. We're actually practicing harder now on Thursdays than we did with Mel here, or that we've done a little bit in the past. We're using that as a complete walkthrough day of practice. That's why we didn't get that in on Thursday this week, because we couldn't use the whole ice to do some things, especially with not having Wednesday because it was a travel day. But we're doing that more this year. We have guys, we kind of monitor a little bit. It was ironic that on Friday, the morning day, skate day, that's an optional skate, but we do go out there and run some drills for the guys that want to go out there, and it was a very light group this week. And possibly we should have forced guys to go out and say, hey, listen, we're going, we haven't had a great skate yet, we're going to go out. I think that was probably a sign that we were a little lethargic, a little tired, and then you're kind of reading, do they need the rest versus, so it's a hard line, it's a feel thing. The biggest thing for me is to make sure that we're ready to play in the second half of the year at the right time.
What was it like back when you played?
Oh, geez. There's no comparison. We had 2.5 hour practices. I brought practices out from back in the day. I should talk to Jeff Jackson sometimes, see how he runs it now, but 2 hour and 20 minute practices. And I'm talking about 2 hour and 20 minute drill time, not board time where you're explaining a drill, things like that. Actually on the drill, 140 minutes, 160 minutes.
Wow.
So
on game days?
No, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
And Thursdays were a good hour and 10. Now, on top of that, after that, then you had an hour in the weight room. And then no meal being delivered. It was a completely different dynamic back then that for some reason, and probably for the reason I just said, is that there comes a point where you're no longer conditioning, you're breaking down.
Right.
And that seems to be the way that training has gone nowadays. So, and it doesn't seem to have affected the play of athletes, getting shorter bursts and doing it hard seems to work nowadays more and more. But you can't do that with athletes anymore. They'll cry to the NHLPA. They'll the guys would come in to me and say we're skating too hard, coach. We can't. This is too much. We can't. You know, they'd come in and do that. So, but back in the day, there was absolutely no comparison. And the tough part on a guy like me is we're pounding everybody at that time. Mm-hmm. We were winning national titles and I mean it was unbelievable the run that we had doing that. You know, you couldn't have worked hard enough. There wasn't enough work that you, I mean.
But what about game days though, back in your day? You know, like a Saturday skate before after a Friday game or whatever?
They were often optional.
Okay.
They're often optional. You didn't usually go out and grind it on a Saturday. They were usually optional at that time.
But some guys take it off to recoup, right?
Yeah, guys like Shane Hannon and Matt Roy, you had to pull them off the ice on a Saturday because they're out there shooting puck after puck after puck. Hey, save some of those arms for tonight.
Lucchini and Misiak have been like that too.
Yeah, out there just shooting. So, different guys do different things, you know, and as a coach, you change with the group too. Like I said, we're altering things a little bit and doing things a little bit more aggressively this year with the guys because I think we need to do that. I want to get away from that lethargic mentality that, you know, Ludentek's running the asylum mentality and make sure we have the controls in place where guys are prepared and readying themselves a little bit more often. So, you know, you just go at it and compete with the best you have.
Good stuff, Coach. Hey, we'll get to some of your questions. If you have a question for Coach Sean, email it to us right now, dj@themix93.com. That is if you are listening on Monday morning. And we'll start the questions when we come back. It's the Joe Sean Hour on Mix 93.
Huh. I haven't tried this before.
Please don't open that cinnamon coke right now. You'll wake up the whole house.
What do you mean? Why not? No.
Now you have to drink it. Hurry. Hurry up. Drink it. Told you.
Does that happen every time?
Yep, every time. And that one woke the neighbors.
New Cinnamon Coke is Coke, but with more holiday inside. Try the festive new flavor while it's still in town.
How good is the new limited edition Coca-Cola Cinnamon? Well, that's something you'll have to find out for yourself. Spice up the season with a new festive flavor, introducing Coca-Cola Cinnamon. It's new, it's cinnamon, and it's a dash of delicious like every sip of Coca-Cola. Go out and grab an ice-cold Coca-Cola Cinnamon this holiday season while supplies last. Enjoy the holidays, enjoy Coca-Cola.
Hey there, Husky fans. This is Sully from the Campus Store. The Michigan Tech Campus Store is located in the Memorial Union Building on the Michigan Tech Campus. And University Images is located in the Student Development Complex at the top of McGinnis Drive. They are your official headquarters for all your favorite Michigan Tech apparel and souvenirs. Plus, you can ship your packages directly from either store for out-of-town friends and family. Stop by the Michigan Tech Campus Store and University Images, where the public is always welcome. Or shop online at bookstore.mtu.edu for all your Michigan Tech Huskies apparel and souvenirs.
Are you frustrated with the rising cost of insurance or concerned you might not have the right coverage? Hi, I'm Marcia Franti of the Turvo Agency in Hancock. Whatever your situation, single, raising a family, or happily retired, we can help you put together an insurance package that both fits your budget and provides the insurance protection you need and deserve. As an independent agency that represents many insurance companies, we offer more choices, more options, more security, and more peace of mind. Put the Turvo Agency to work for you at 482-0080.
Welcome back to the Joe Sean Hour. Let's get to some of your questions as we get set for the big series against Anchorage coming up this weekend. By the way, 7:07 Friday night, 6:07 Saturday night. Some people still forgetting about that early start for Saturday night home games for Michigan Tech. Tickets are available at the Central Ticket Office. Call Aaron up there at 487-2073. First question for you, Coach, is do you think the annual tradition of playing in Alaska for Thanksgiving will continue in the post-WCHA world?
I would hope we could get up there earlier. I still want to play them. I like going up there. I still want to play them. I still want to play Anchorage. I don't know how the whole league's going to go. I'm not saying that they aren't going to be in the league. I really don't. I don't know. I don't ask. It doesn't, you know, but I would like to go up earlier. And be able to fly directly out of here. That last leg, I don't know, how many hours was it last night from Chicago? Ever. It was, like, we got in, I don't know when we left Chicago, 2 o'clock maybe, and we got in here at midnight, or maybe 1 o'clock we left Chicago, and
yeah.
I don't know what it was, but it was crazy. And now the roads were bad, and I want to give a couple of shout-outs here. Number one, by far the best roads on the trip back were when we hit the Houghton County line. Do you agree with that?
I agree.
I mean, the roads were clear when we hit the Houghton County line, and up until that point, you know, I know that I was watching our bus driver. He was 10-2 on the wheel, and hands were white, and you know, it was, this is bad. So our road commission in the city, you come back, the roads are beautiful with all the snow, and there's certainly a lot of snow. It absolutely phenomenal, as always, the city and county road commission. And then, Brian Jetta, I want to thank you for coming over, just totally helping my wife. Unannounced, unannounced. I don't know if you were just riding by or whatever, but Catherine Lucchese's husband came by and plowed out for Laura a couple of times there, and Laura works so hard, and she told me every day my arms are dead because she wants to keep a place cleaned out for the dogs in the back and the decks, and she wants to come home and not have me to have to get right to work, you know, after a trip and stuff, and she's unbelievable, but that was a huge help. Thanks so much. So the people around here, that we live a certain way, we choose to live that way, and it's sure awesome when people help each other, and when the road commission, everybody does such a great job, public safety does such a great job, the flood, everything, you couldn't live in a better place if you want to be, if people mean anything to you, and you're not just after climbing a ladder, things like that. There's no better place to live. You couldn't find a better place than right here.
So the question for the Thanksgiving...
earlier. So we can fly out of here, right. Not have to do that extra leg on the bus ride, fly here to Minneapolis, Minneapolis to Anchorage, mm-hmm. Anchorage back to Minneapolis, Minneapolis back to here would be...
Or Chicago.
But when you do that in the winter, you can't do it because you're just rolling the dice on getting out.
Yeah. And it should be known from... I don't know if... I'm sure this listener who sent this in understands the reason why we're up there during the is because we're on break. That's mm-hmm. that's one reason why that we tend to make that trip during that Thanksgiving weekend, and that's why the Alaska schools are usually home during the Thanksgiving break to allow other teams to come up and play them. All right, good question there. The next question, Coach, and you know, you and I were talking about this question ahead of time. I had this exact same thought going through my mind this weekend watching Alex Smith get kicked out of just about every draw on Friday night. Here's the question. When a center goes in to take a draw, it takes forever for the linesman to drop the puck. He ends up kicking out that first player. When the second player comes in, who replaces the original center, the puck always gets dropped right away. Well, not even if it doesn't get dropped right away, it usually gets dropped with some instruction and usually don't kick him out again. The question then, follow-up question, is why don't coaches put a winger on the draw to start to intentionally get kicked out and then have the real center step in and take the draw?
Yeah, that's a great question. That's actually a great question. It's frustrating, I know, for our centermen, for our entire team, for us watching how these faceoffs take place. And if you notice, late in the game, we started adding up and putting multiple centers in. And really, we have some guys playing center that aren't really centermen. And we have some other guys. Blisser's in the top, well, he was in the top five or six in the league in faceoffs. And he's a winger for us. So we do that at times. We have, on some lines, we have multiple people taking draws. But it's an absolutely great question because it's crazy how people are getting thrown out of draws. The other thing that's absolutely is lunacy is they have ruling in place on the encroachment, the cheating on faceoffs. I had the referee this weekend say to me, we weren't complaining at all to the referees about anything this weekend. And I like TJ Likens. I've known forever since he was a linesman when I was coaching juniors. But he said to me, there were a couple of times where I wanted to call interference against Fairbanks on a faceoff plays in your zone, but I couldn't because you guys were cheating so far inside the circle. And you think to yourself, well, you can control that. You know, that's your job. Make sure, like, throw a guy out, give a guy a penalty if people are cheating on the faceoff. Now, I really like this when we went and played North Dakota. They told us before the game, told our captains, it's a big emphasis in our league to call the faceoffs the right way, to take the cheating out. So If there's someone on a team inside the circle cheating on the faceoff that goes inside the circle, we're going to boot that centerman out. If it happens again on that faceoff, it's going to be a penalty.
Wow.
And we've called several. And it got control of that part of the game right away. And we actually, faceoffs were clean in that game at North Dakota. So officiating, it just comes down to, I think, doing your job. And just like, just call the right laws in society. Just call the rule book in hockey.
Here's a travel question for you, Coach. When you go to Alaska, do you have to give names when tickets are booked, like you would when you're booking a family vacation? Or do you book the seats and then give the names closer to when you know who is actually making the trip?
We're allowed two changes, and that's all. And that's an unfortunate thing, because injuries can play part and everything when you book these tickets out. So, but you're allowed two changes, I think, 48 hours before, up to 48 hours before the thing. And at 48 hours, it's locked in. So, which is unfortunate, because some guys really work hard that day before you're posting a lineup, and they don't have it figured out. And you tell them all the time, don't take any days for granted, things like that. But they just have their best weeks of practice, and you say to yourself, man, I wish we would have been able to bring that player. But, you know, kind of back to the Scotty Bowman theory, you know, he said one time, I don't worry about the guy that really plays good on one given day or something like that. I want the guy that plays consistent all the time. So you really want guys that bring it every day in practice.
Next question is for Coach. Coach, will you give the guys Monday off here leading towards this weekend against Anchorage?
Yeah, we have to today. We have to give them today off. They're going to be gassed from the travel of it. It was just a 24-hour brutal day yesterday, but we will go on the ice today with the guys that didn't travel, because we want to keep them growing, and hopefully some guys can eventually take somebody's spot in the lineup, or at least put enough pressure on that we get better.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. Be back with more of the Joe Sean Hour. If you have a question, you can email it to us. Do it quick, though. DJ@themix93.com if you are listening live here on Monday morning. And we'll talk about the big series coming up with Anchorage. It is a big series. The last two games in the league play for Michigan Tech until the new year. And the Huskies need to get some points this weekend. So we'll take a break. Be back with more on that.
Using an overpriced trash bag?
Pricey, pricey, pricey!
A bag that breaks?
Whippy, whippy, whippy!
Or a smelly bag?
Stinky, stinky, stinky!
Time to switch to Hefty Ultra Strong Trash Bags. Always at an ultra low price.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
They're our best bags yet. And they cost less than Glad Force Flex, where sold head-to-head. So you'll be...
happy, happy, happy!
Hefty Ultra Strong with Arm & Hammer Odor Control. Also available in heavy-duty black bags.
Hefty, hefty, hefty!
Ordinary bar soaps may do a good job of cleansing. Easy. Done and done. But with Dove, you get a whole lot more. Because every bar is made with 1/4 moisturizing cream. So you get a gentle clean that leaves skin feeling soft, smooth, and nourished. Upgrade to Dove, the bar that gives you more. It cleanses and cares. Plus, it's #1 recommended by dermatologists. Now that is money well spent. Dove, get more from your beauty bar.
It takes hard work to reach goals. It's a truth that applies to more than sports. It goes for your financial goals as well. You work hard for your money. You deserve an investment strategy that lines up with your game plan. And your local Edward Jones financial advisor can help. If your investments aren't putting forth the effort, call me, John Nelson, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, at 482-8680 or stop by for a financial review. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
It's almost Bush o'clock. A time for relaxing and unwinding with a crisp, cold Bush beer. It's the most refreshing time of the day. Wait for it. 3, 2, 1.
Bush.
Crisp, cold, Bush. Enjoy responsibly. Bush Beer. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Coach is admiring the Barry Sanders poster that we have. It's been up in my studio for forever. I told him he might be my favorite athlete of all time. But he was a classy guy.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with people that operated in such a humble way that he did. I mean, he could have retired as the leading rusher all time in football and left the game. He still had a lot of health and everything, and he left the game.
Coach, Anchorage this weekend, a team that has just been a thorn in our side the last few years. We just can't seem to And we just haven't played our best hockey in many games against them. And they're going to come in here and really give us the test on Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah, they are. They do a good job there. I think Matt Curley does a really good job with this group. They skate. They play skill. They're unorthodox. They're a tremendous hockey team, and every game is so important. We played 12 games this year. Many teams in our league have played 8. So, you know, even though we're
league games, you're talking
league
just
games,
so you know
league
know.
Games. So we're even though we're up, I think we're tied for 4th in the standings in the league. The teams, you know, teams around us have played less games than we have and can make up that ground. So, very important for us to do our best, to be at our best. And to, you know, give ourselves the best chance we can of having success. That's really all that matters.
Yeah,
us having success.
Sorry. Both, Bowling Green is one of those teams that's only played 8 games in the league so far. And they're just, you know, just behind us in the standings, you know. So it's, again, usually after the holiday break, everything kind of evens out and we can really get a good look at where everybody is. But, with it being so long since we play our next league weekend, this, one is huge, obviously. But yeah, they're all big.
They're all big. Every game, and really the only way we can look at it is looking at the next game and establishing, okay, what do we have to get better at? What do we have to, what's our plan of attack for our next opponent and what gives us the best chance of getting those points? But there's some crazy things you look at, like we were talking. We're 11th in the pairwise. Mm-hmm. In the only poll that matters nationally, we are 11th in the country. Top 16 make the national tournament. 11th is a tremendous place to be. It's an unbelievable place to be. So I don't know how that is with being one game over 500, how that can possibly be. But we have played the best teams in the country but we've set ourselves up actually in a pretty good way. If you are looking long range, we've given ourselves a chance to have some success, but we still have that's the least of what we can look at. That's more from a fan perspective than from a coaching perspective.
One of Anchorage's wins this season was against Alaska, and they shut them out 4-0 in that game. What do you know about the Seawolves this year, Coach, as far as the style of game they play?
They're unorthodox. They do some things. They're deer down a lot in the play, active a lot in the play. They don't play a traditional game in that sense, they let their D play like forwards out there and, you know, on scrums and things. They're collapsing 4 guys on the puck in the offensive zone, which is, you know, you look at it and you say, how can they play that way on the big ice and take those chances? But they hold their guys obviously to an accountability standard that they don't give up the chances out of that, and then they recover off of it. So, they skate, they play a creative style of game. They try to generate offense. He's really trying to, it looks like, put a style that's fun to play, in place there. And that's, again, that's the areas that we have to really focus on.
Tanner Jackal is leading the way along with Alex Fry for the Seawolves with 4 goals apiece. They have a couple with 3 as well. And, of course, Nick Wicks already with 8 assists. So they have guys that can create offense. And this will be a fun weekend of hockey, as it always is against the Seawolves. Now, game time is 7:07 on Friday night, 6:07 on Saturday night. I want to remind people about that. Another question coming in for you, Coach. 2 very big weekends coming up at home. Do the guys, after the next 2 weekends before the GLI, do they get a break, or how does that all work with the team?
Yeah, at the end there'll be ice available for guys to skate. But they will, I'll get out and be able to do some recruiting, watch some of our guys that are coming in. The guys will meet up. There'll be a bus leaving here, I believe, on the 27th going down for the GLI. And then several players will fly right into Detroit and meet us. And then we play the GLI, start out with Michigan State. And then right after that, on New Year's, we have a quick turnaround. I think, what is it, Monday, Tuesday, or Sunday, Monday this year, the GLI?
It's Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah, and then we play that Friday.
Saturday.
No, Saturday. We played Saturday. Saturday. They changed the game for us. Arizona was good in dealing with us on that. We go down and play Arizona in Arizona after that. So,
and they still haven't. They still have not given us a time yet for the Sunday game. It's still to be determined. Unless you've heard something that I haven't.
I haven't asked, but I think I know when it is. I think they told me when it was. So okay. I'll check on that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
So, so coming up this weekend, Coach, with the games against Anchorage, were there any specific parts of the game that you'll emphasize during practice this week that you want to correct from last weekend, and we'll just kind of cover everything again as you get ready? I mean,
do you want me to give my game plan?
Well, no, but I mean, are you going to work on, you know, is there certain things about the power play that you want to work on, or the penalty kill?
There's
or?
Certain things about every aspect of our game, and it's in every game. Every game is different to every team we play. You know, we've talked on here and how we have to play against one team and how we have to play against another team. We usually talk about that post a little bit, and that's not rocket science. There's no secrets. There's no secrets out there, but it changes all the time based on how that team is evolving and changing, and what we think we can attack. Because again, our goal is not to sit back and try to hang on. And you certainly can't play the same way against every team. You have to have points of emphasis that you're trying to accomplish within the way the framework or the way you play, and then attack from there. But and that's what we'll try to do. You have to go on the offense. You can't sit back against hockey teams, because number one, what I told our guys, a great thing about Fairbanks, and this was really the talk we had on Saturday before the game. I like the way they play because they play a way that allows them to get better even as the game goes on, because they make plays, and the way they play, if they turn pucks over like we turn pucks over on Friday night, they're going to give up odd man rushes and scoring chances like crazy. But they manage the puck within that crazy, you know, that all out style of force that they do, and then they recover with everything they have. If they do make a mistake, to get back and to protect it, and they skate well enough to do that, to make it difficult for you. But with doing that and constantly having that pressure on you to make plays, you can do one of two things. You can not get any better and get killed every game, or you can grow as a team and develop an identity and hold your, you know, hold an accountability factor where it doesn't, where you do learn to make plays. And if you do like they do, then you get better by doing it all the time. The more you do something and have success at it, that becomes old hat, and then you're on to something else. And that's how you learn. That's how computers learn. That's artificial intelligence, everything. That's how you learn. You do things, you master it, and then you're on to something else. And I like that within the way they play, and that's what I take out of Fairbanks that our guys need to do. They need to master and move on. Master and move on, and then you get guys growing and growing and growing and having a better year than your previous year all the time.
Do the leaders of the team, Coach, when you talk to them about issues such as that, does it seem like it's sinking in and they're trying to incorporate it in their game and in the team's game, or is it still something you got to kind of pound into them?
This has been a great group. This group has been a great group like that. There's guys that you can see it in them, that they want to be hockey players. You know, they have that, a little bit of that Mitch Rentke, that, you know, that Ryan Miller, that Matt Wright. You can tell guys that see the end game and they're in the present, but they're always working towards the end game. There's guys that don't, for sure. There's guys that cheat the game, cheat themselves, you know, don't strive to be the best they were created to be, in everything they do. You can't just turn it on for hockey and not be a good person and not be a good student and not be, it doesn't, life doesn't work that way. You have to have a character, right? Which is what you do when nobody's looking. That's how you judge character. When no one's looking, mm-hmm. when no one can repay you, when it's just you, and what do? How do you handle yourself? That's character. And you want good character with your team, because that leads to good culture.
All right, Coach. Well, we appreciate it. The games are this weekend, Friday and Saturday night. And don't forget about Econo Foods Kids Day is Saturday with both basketball teams. By the way, the men's basketball team two great wins up in Anchorage.
Isn't that great? And then they left an hour before we did and got home like 7 hours before we did. So good for them. Good for Luke. I didn't make it in today to coffee. We'll catch up on that tomorrow. I always look forward to getting together with he and the staff in the morning.
But the men's and women's basketball teams playing home this week. They'll play Thursday night and then doubleheader on Saturday. That Saturday doubleheader with Michigan Tech basketball, and on top of that, the hockey game to make it a tripleheader, is all part of Kids Day with Econo Foods, and we'll be giving away tickets. Our Econo Foods will be giving away tickets on Wednesday, and we'll be broadcasting from Econo Foods late Wednesday morning. So really looking forward to that. And Econo Foods is just, they're always been huge Husky supporters.
Great sponsors.
All right, tickets available at the Central Ticket Office. Go to buyhuskiestickets.com, or you can stop by and talk to Aaron and the crew at the ticket office, or you can call 487-2073. But don't miss out. Michigan Tech hockey home Friday and Saturday night, 7:07 on Friday night, 6:07 on Saturday night. Tickets are available. Make sure you get them, and we'll see you at the games. And don't forget, we'll also have it for you here on Mix 93 WKMJ. You have been listening to the Joe Schon Hour here on Mix 93 WKMJ.